The Very Interesting Show contains mature adult content not suitable for anybody. If you classify as anybody, turn back now. You have been warned.
I was paid to put on a killer show.
All right. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you are all doing fantastic out there, all of you sexy people. It is, of course, March 10th, 2022, and we are doing yet another edition of The Very Interesting Show. And so we've got quite a bit to get to today. I've laid out a very long outline as to what we have got to do today. So look at that, everybody. That's what we've got. You notice all the blank space there and all the blank spaces over there. So I would like to take a live look very quickly at what we are going to get to tonight.
Sure. Whole lot of nothing.
No, we do actually have some stuff to get to. And primarily, if this doesn't go to show you like just how petty I will be to win an argument, then this has been an argument that has been a couple of days in the making. And I decided to just ramp it up to the next level and take it to the show. So me and you, Justin, we went to see The Batman. On Sunday. It was very good, which is why I have, you know, just in case we end up getting to it, spoiler alert for The Batman in our show title today. So look, this covers all of our bases. So if you get spoiled about anything in The Batman, then you know what, it's your fault. But after we got out of the movie on our way back home, on the walk out to the car, so we were having a nice little discussion about how, since we arrived 10 minutes late to the movie, we didn't end up going to the concession stand and getting any of the drinks and popcorn and all that stuff, which has turned out to have been a good idea, because injecting any bit of drink into me during that 3-hour fucking movie, it would have been some pain. We would have been in some...
You would have been in.
Yeah, maybe it's just me that for some reason can't sit still for 3 hours without having to get up and go pee. But we were having this nice, casual little discussion on our way back out to the vehicle, and I don't know how this ended up making it to light. But for some reason, and I think that this is a divide between a certain group of people, there's two types of people in this world, okay? There's the type of people that think that there's no difference between regular old bag popcorn and movie theater popcorn. I like to call that group heathens. And then there's this other group of people that just know that there's something special about movie theater popcorn, even though I'm paying, I paid... what is it, $9, $8 for a medium bag of popcorn at AMC today for the ultimate popcorn challenge. So we have two people on two different sides tonight on our panel. And so we are going to put this to the test and hopefully lay it to bed, put it to sleep once and for all as to whether or not there is truly a difference between bag popcorn and movie theater popcorn. So we've got that.
Well, I don't think it's a full test, but we're gonna go with what we got, because we didn't really go out and get a variety of the bag popcorn.
No, we didn't.
We only went to one theater to get popcorn. We could have potentially gone to more, but we went with what we had in the house and what was available at the nearest theater. So I think that's a fair enough challenge.
Look, the bag is labeled gourmet popcorn, so I would like to think that is
extra
a solid
butter gourmet popcorn.
So that's got to be the best of what
I do have
popcorn
to ask
has
you
to
this.
Offer.
How did you prepare the bag popcorn? When you took it out of the wrapper, did you just toss it in the microwave?
No, of course I salted it a little bit and shook it around. It's basically
No, not after it was cooked.
Oh, what do you
mean? Before it was cooked. What did you do?
Okay, so the mistake that most people make when they make bagged popcorn is to press the popcorn button. That is incorrect. That is not what you are supposed to do in this situation. That is not it. So I checked the bag to see what their recommended time was. I put it in for the exact amount of time that it was recommended. A minute 45 solid. And that is what we had there.
So two things with that. To get more popcorn out of your bag popcorn, so you don't have as many kernels left over, what you do is you maneuver it. You manipulate it, right?
Manipulate the popcorn.
Right. Before you open it, so when it's in that tight bag, it's got the butter sauce in there, it's got the kernels. So if you like move it around, kind of flatten out all the kernels so they're on an even plane instead of like stacked up or just like completely gooped up with like an inch of, I'm exaggerating, but like an inch of the popcorn or the butter sauce around it. You manipulate it, move it apart so that there's a little bit of space in between the kernels. You don't have to do.
I didn't go that far, but
to get a good massage, right? Give it a good massage, and then
like the date you're taking home from the movies, roughly the same.
Sure,
I would imagine.
Sure, and then you pop it. Now, they have changed. It used to be 2 minutes for a bag of popcorn, but did it also have instructions to say to stand by and listen to it for 1 to 2 seconds between pops?
So since our microwave is broken, we can only use it in 1 minute increments. So
we only have the minute plus button that works and the stop clear button that works.
So it had to go in for 2 minutes. So I kind of lied. I didn't exactly put it in for 1:45 and then take it out. I did leave it in for another 5 seconds, listen to it, another 5 seconds, listen to it. And by the time it stopped like popping, this was at, I'd say, maybe 150-ish if we're really getting down into the specific science of microwave popcorn times. So I did my best to recreate exactly the same kinds of conditions. Now, fortunately, what ended up happening is that, so first of all, we were that guy, or I was that guy, that just strolled right into the fucking movie theater without a ticket.
We
did, but I was... I was hoping that somebody was going to ask me about it, by the way.
Oh, so, the guy did, but I ignored him.
I ignored him, too. I didn't...
Tickets?
Was he talking to us?
Yeah, he definitely was.
Really?
There was nobody else behind us.
Oh, okay.
And I was hoping to God that you didn't turn around the moment that he said something. And you didn't. You waited like 3 seconds and then like turned your head a little bit.
Because I heard somebody say, one of the lackeys in the front say tickets. And I, at first, for those first 5 seconds, I was like, ah, fuck this. I'm not even going to give it the dignity of a response.
Just keep your eyes forward. Don't even have to worry about
then
it.
Then 5 seconds later, I'm like, I wonder if he was talking to us. And it turns out that he probably was.
If he was really going to push the issue, he would have reapproached. But
I was hoping for that, because I was really hoping for the ability to get to tell somebody, no, I'm just in here to stroll up to the fucking concession stand, buy a bag of popcorn, and then peace right the fuck out.
Which honestly, I don't think they would have a problem with, because that's where movie theaters make their money. They're not getting very much off of ticket sales. If I remember right, in something that I read, I want to say they get 10% or less of ticket sales.
You hear that, AMC stockholders?
Which is not a whole lot.
I helped you out tonight. Bye.
It's not an AMC. It's a Regal.
Oh yeah, it's a Regal, isn't it?
But digressing, regardless of what theater you go to, most of ticket sales, the profits from ticket sales go to the production studios.
One of my favorite parts about movie theater popcorn is that machine that they have that you just slam the button and then all the oozy, goozy, gooey, buttery dripness.
The butter sauce.
The butter sauce, which I don't think can be classified as butter because I don't know if it's actually butter. I read something about this a long time ago.
It has the saturated fats and the cholesterol and, and the salt. And
So one of the ways that this challenge is going to be accurate is because you know how all the time when you slam that button and all the ooey gooey butter comes out of it. It only covers the top, right?
Unless you know what you're doing.
Of course. And I know you told a story on the way back about how you guys used to bring like a separate bag that you would put the popcorn in.
More often than not, it would be buying a larger popcorn, dumping out part of it, and then like putting some... Shaking it about.
That's the right way to do it, but that is not the avenue that we took today. Instead, I did was just poured it all the fuck over the top and then had to skim the top of it because they fill the bag so damn high that it's impossible to hold it straight without little popcorn bits falling out. So I wanted to get a little bit, like take a little bit off the top.
So you took all the butter or all the popcorn with the extra butter sauce and shoved it in his face.
Fucking slammed it on the way home. And so the movie theater popcorn samples that we have in front of us, we have two cups here. I'm not going to tell you which one is which. I'm going to see if you can tell the difference here. We didn't get to the buttery part of it. The buttery part of the movie theater popcorn was fucking gone by the time.
Yeah, because you fucking ate it all.
Well, it's because you can't shake it. They fill the popcorn.
Well, that's
so
why I said I did give you the little tip to put it in the side where there was a little bit of a pocket.
It did make it to a little bit into there, but it wasn't enough. So, by the way, another thing that I forgot to do to the movie theater popcorn is salt it, which I did before.
Oh, they
before
put plenty of salt
cups.
On it.
It didn't taste like it. I definitely noticed. This could use a little bit of salt. A little bit of salt.
That's just your taste preference. There is more than enough salt in that popcorn and in that butter that they put in there when it pops.
A little bit of salt. So I did end up putting a little bit of salt into the movie theater popcorn as well, because just a tiny bit to match the natural, because I think the bag popcorn also has quite a bit of natural salt in it too. Now the bag popcorn, you definitely natural like salt naturally
comes,
in there
comes
somehow.
With it. Yeah.
Salt that's like naturally injected into the bag from natural sources from the salt mines of the Himalayas, I'm sure is where it directly comes from.
But there's more than just the Himalaya salt is just the pink salt. There's more places for the regular salt.
They created in a lab, kind of like how I imagine that
they iodize it in probably in a factory, but they might call it a lab.
Look, my biggest fantasy, and I'm not going to lie, I'm fairly confident. I'm almost 100% sure that this is how they make movie theater popcorn. But the famed popcorn oligarch, Orville Redenbacher himself. Now, I imagine that he has a family and they have like super secret popcorn labs, popcorn biological weapons facilities spread out throughout the United States here in this country. And what I imagine
throughout
the world too, of course, but, and I'm not, there's no way I'm getting into conspiracy theory territory here. I'm fairly confident.
He is creating a conspiracy right now.
This is 100% fact. Don't research it because you're not going to like what you find. It'll prove me right. Trust. Just don't do it. But what they do is all of Orville Redenbacher's future offspring are then immediately captured directly out of the hospital and put into slavery.
What do you mean? The hospital is in the same place as the popcorn factory.
Right, of course. They would go this far. And Orville Redenbacher's children, children of Redenbacher, are rounded up and they're forced into popcorn slavery for their entire lives. And what they do is how they create movie theater popcorn, why this is such a worldwide far-reaching industry, is they actually have a specific chemical, right? Keep following me with this. They have a specific chemical.
It does not turn the frogs gay.
No, it doesn't. Instead, what they do is they pick up one little kernel of popcorn, and what they'll do is all of the slave children of Orville Redenbacher, they will inject this one specific kernel directly with the movie theater gene, and that makes it taste different. I'm fairly confident that this is where movie theater popcorn comes from, and this is why it tastes different. And that's why, to call back to earlier, why I say that there's two types of people in this world: the people that think that bag popcorn is just the same as movie theater popcorn, and then, you know, the truly enlightened people that know the story of all of Orville Redenbacher's children that are then born into direct slavery in order to inject every individual kernel of movie theater popcorn with the movie theater gene. I'm not saying that This is not a conspiracy theory, by the way. This is proven 100% fact. Go look it up. Go look it up on Google. You could even go search for it on DuckDuckGo now, because their news broke today, by the way, that they will also be catering. They'll be, what's the word that I'm looking for? Kind of putting together how the search engines kind of display their content. Like, they can also do the same thing that Google does, where they're going to suggest specific things mm-hmm. to show to people.
So they have their own algorithm.
Well, they're making it very clear that they're going to be cracking down on what they call disinformation, quote unquote, which is the same thing that that Google does. And I don't know, man, that kind of kills DuckDuck. I used to like DuckDuckGo. I don't want specifically curated things that I search for. I want to search for the things that I'm searching for.
In the sense of where we're at with mainstream media and it being about who's first and not necessarily who's right, I think that's potentially has potential for it to be a good thing. Because when I go and I search the benefits of coffee, this is, for example, somebody on TikTok or Facebook or something it came across my meme feed on the app that I use. But it was recorded from another social media site. But basically, he looked up the bad things about coffee, and it said that coffee can cause blindness. So he looked it up and he found an article that said that coffee can cause three or more cups of coffee a day can cause blindness. And then he immediately looked up to see what benefits for your eyes coffee has, and it said that it can help your eyes in reducing the glaucoma that you get that you can develop in your eyes. Coffee can help with that. So there's one of those is right.
Nobody fucking knows where anything comes from.
Right. Well, I mean, yes, there are reputable sites and researchers that can back this information.
But now you got to do some more digging yourself.
But I think that's where DuckDuckGo is trying to filter out where, you know, this versus that type of misinformation.
I don't know. I think this kind of gets into the same thing that Google's doing, where I think DuckDuckGo.
Like, I would have understood DuckDuckGoose. Where did you get DuckDuckBill from?
I don't know. I don't know, man. I think I got popcorn on my mind too much. But I really do think that this is going to damage DuckDuckGo's credibility a little bit when they start doing the specifically curated content that, you know, it's the same thing that Google does, right? Google will basically only promote official quote-unquote sources and fact-checkers and all the stuff that they can deem as misinformation they want.
Recently has come out about, Twitter and Facebook.
That they will be allowing temporarily posts inciting Russian violence.
No. That's not where I was going with it, but that they have legitimately have posted misinformation.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Even like their fact checkers aren't actual fact checkers. It's
fact checkers aren't real
based
people.
On other stuff like that. It still has the potential to be false.
So one of the things that the fact checkers will, at least the real ones, all the ones that you see on all the social medias, all the articles that say fact check, you know, they're done by a group that paid for whatever they're being fact checked to be false. And, you know, just follow money and that's how it goes. But one thing that is for certain to pass the fact check is if you were to search for the secret conspiracy of the Orville Redenbacher slave trade, that this is exactly how movie theater popcorn is created. So go, I'm telling you, just
and then,
do and your
then
research.
Bag popcorn is made the traditional way. Automation.
Right. So all I'm saying is just do your research out there, people. Do your research into how movie theater popcorn is made, and we will separate the people that don't think that there's any difference versus the people that are truly woke that know the true history of movie theater popcorn.
So before we get into this, your claim is that movie theater popcorn just has a different edge to it.
It does.
My claim was that it's just as good.
No,
popcorn is just as good as movie theater popcorn.
Just as good. See, I thought that you said that there weren't really any differences, that they're the same thing, basically. So now you're claiming that it's just as good.
Okay, potato tomato, man. Like,
I don't know,
just as good and the same thing are it is exactly that.
So the same
quality,
same
ingredients, Papa John's.
Not quite sure exactly how that one checks out, but we'll roll with it. So we've got two cups here, and I forgot which one of mine is which. I put them down here in a specific way. I know the order that I put yours down in, so I know which one is the movie theater and which one's the bag popcorn on yours. And I came around the desk in my seat, and I put them down.
I can tell the difference by the smell.
I don't remember which one it is. See, let me see. You can already tell the difference. Yeah, I mean, see, doesn't this already start to prove the fact that, you know, there are some differences?
Odor does not always play into flavor.
It could. You're right. It could end up coming down to taste here.
That stuff that smells terrible but tastes great. I'm sure you've had the same and opposite stuff that smells good and tastes terrible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a little bit on both ends. So as I was mentioning earlier, I tried to keep these as similar as possible. Like, we got to the middle of the bag of the movie theater popcorn, so it's got none of the saturated fats and all the oil and stuff on it. This is pure, unadulterated movie theater popcorn. And same thing same thing with the bag popcorn. Oh, by the way, I was so obsessed with movie theater popcorn when I was younger that one of the things that I used to do before I knew, because I had never seen this before in the popcorn aisle, this might have been in a time before they had this product, but they eventually created like those bottles of movie theater butter, which is basically just oil that you could buy. It's pretty much next to the popcorn section.
Something else that used to be at certain movie theaters, not all of them, but they also had different seasonings that you could dust your popcorn with at different theaters.
So what I would try to do when I was younger is I had to come up with the perfect formula to eat bag popcorn with. I was like, this sauce, this butter is just perfect. How do I recreate this? And so what I would do is I would get one of those little sauce tubs out, you know, the little tiny ones that you could like put mustard and ketchup and shit in, the sauce trays, and I would mix around, I would fuck around with different combinations of butter and like vegetable oil, because I knew there's got to be some kind of oil in this, man. I got to try it.
Part of me is like, man, I wish I could have gotten away with doing that when I was a kid. But part of me is like, I'm glad my parents
didn't let me do that. See, I wish either my mom or my dad was there when I'm sitting there with the fucking sauce tray, like doing a science experiment, stirring it around with the butt end of a fork, like stirring it the fuck around. I wish somebody came up and slapped me in the fucking face.
Right, I figured you would too.
Things could have been much different nowadays if I wasn't allowed to.
I wouldn't be having to count your macros as much, potentially.
No, I wouldn't. Dude, oh my God, you know another disgusting thing that I used to do? I would come home every day. I don't even remember if I've told this story or not. I feel like I may have, but I used to come home every day in high school, and since we had to get up at like 5-6 a.m. I was fucking tired. So my afternoon routine every day when coming home from high school would be let me just grab a whole box of Kraft mac and cheese. And this is before dinner, mind you. So a whole box of Kraft mac and cheese.
I have also done this.
I would slam the whole fucking box of pasta into a bowl, just get some water in there, stir it up, and, you know, maybe add a little bit of seasoning and just slam it in the microwave for 10 minutes. And then we're right in the powder. I've swirled up around and I would eat
and
this.
And just slam the whole
I would
in slam, 2 minutes.
Slam this whole fucking bowl of mac and cheese in like legitimately like 5-10 minutes. And then I would go take a nap, which is the worst thing that you could possibly do. And so somehow that explains a lot.
Very much so.
that explains a whole lot here.
So something fun I did when I was a senior in high school, I would, before going to school, this was before I had my, my driver's license. So I still had to take the bus for the first part of my senior year. My parents, acquired some Georgia moonshine.
Oh,
from an individual that they know. And, I would, did the classic move that every high schooler has ever done with any liquor of their parents. I would take a shot of it before school every day.
Oh, nice.
But instead of replacing it with water like a bunch of dumbasses would do.
I did that.
I replaced it with some vodka from the handle of vodka. It's moonshine. It's not flavored moonshine. Mm. It's just straight moonshine. So it already has a bite to it. So just replacing it with vodka, you replace clear liquor with clear liquor, and hey, the bite's still there.
Seems innocent. It seems so innocent, right?
Yep. But, and then I would
get the shit beat out of you for it.
No, I never found out.
See,
I told my mom about it later. She was like, "You little fucker."
At that point, the statute of limitations has passed on that.
She was like, "What the
punishment.
Hell were you thinking doing?" I was like, "Mom, first of all, it was just a shot. My first class of my first semester was some like elective bullshit that didn't matter for my grade or for my GPA. And so I was just like, I'm going to have fun.
You need to take the edge off.
Or just like,
or put the
go
edge
back
on.
To sleep.
That works. So we've got our movie theater popcorn here and our regular bagged popcorn that we're both going to give a try. Now, another thing that's important here is that I let the bagged popcorn sit out just long enough to where they're both the same temperature also. So I like to think that we have a fairly decent experiment to run with here. Similar preparation, just some salt and none of the fucking glob butter. And it's just a very, very standard cup of either of the popcorns. And I want to see...
Something I just remembered I used to do with bagged popcorn, because we would get the movie theater popcorn from the store, and it was just like the... Was it like Act 2 popcorn? I don't know if you remember that brand. Mm-hmm. And it was like the movie theater brand, so it was like... Or the movie theater flavor, so it was like the extra butter.
Oh, yeah.
I would scrape the butter and salt that built up on the side of the bag and lick it after the popcorn was done.
Oh, I did a little
just
bit of
like
that.
Just like cleaning my fingernails out with the edge of my teeth, getting all the goop and the salt out.
When I was pouring out the bag popcorn into the cups from the bag, I saw that line of where all the salt and butter builds up. Yeah, right on the crease. And I get a little bit of it stuck on my fingers, and I see that, and I'm like,
let me get the rest of that.
Beautiful. So, all right, I'm going to try the first cup here, and I'm going to see whether or not it stands out already. Fortunately, we have enough of it to...
pretty tasty.
Mm. I'm so glad I saved.
Popcorn ASMR.
Yeah, if you didn't want popcorn ASMR, then I'm sorry, but you know, this is the world that we're living in today. All right, I know which one is which immediately. I can tell the difference.
And, well, I can tell the difference too in the taste, but
and
quality of it, I feel like is still the same.
See, quality, I still think that I have a preference towards one of them. I think that one of them, I'm not going to say it's significantly better, but I think it's most certainly a step up, and it makes it worth it that, you know, we don't have access to this all the time.
Also, in this case, with this store-bought brand, it's not the best quality because it's just Walmart Great Value.
It is the Great Value brand.
So it's not the best quality popcorn out there. I just grabbed it because I was like, ooh, popcorn. You want popcorn? And I just didn't want to spend a bunch of money on it.
It does its job still. Right. Like, you know, when we're down there watching a fucking movie, which we
probably... enough, yes, but...
Which we'll probably be doing after the show. We're going to watch Moneyball after the show.
Great movie.
I haven't seen it yet, and I've heard that it's so damn good that, you know, it's a big meme in esports too about how like team owners try to fucking moneyball their way to decent teams, and how there's just an interesting...
Sometimes going with mid tier is going to be the best for you.
Oh yeah, I can so tell the difference.
Okay, this one right here, this is movie theater. Yours, your right cup.
Yeah.
No. I think it is your right cup. Yeah, your right cup is the movie theater popcorn. As is mine, I think.
See, not that bag popcorn is not going to get you through a good sitting of a movie. Like, it's still serviceable, but basically what I'm saying is that the movie theater popcorn is such a step up that I am so damn glad that they cannot quite recreate it in the bagged version, because that would be dangerous.
I think they have. I'm telling you, you get some Orville Redenbacher movie theater popcorn, like movie theater style popcorn.
I'll have to go capture one of his children and, you know,
I think it may not quite be the same because it is cooked with microwave via heat and oil.
Microwave.
So that's the difference. That's one of the differences with flavor. It's always going to take a little bit of the sustenance out when you cook in the microwave. But
movie theater popcorn is so damn good. I ate like a really big chunk of the bag on the way home too. That is why I'm glad that I have
like
not
a good,
eaten shit
he ate like a good quarter of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it had all the butter on it too. And I'm not going to lie, that gets me a little excited thinking about that.
So I will say, as far as the quality between the two, since I'm eating them side by side, some minus points for the microwave. It's not quite as crunchy as movie theater popcorn.
Plus, for whatever reason, when I crunch on the microwave popcorn, I hear like a little squeal, like a little squeak when you crunch on the microwave popcorn. I think that probably just has to do with the
cooking process.
Yeah,
I think.
Cooking process too. But
I think it's partly because of what, that's why, like, I think that has to do with the softness of it.
So movie theater popcorn, I'm giving a solid 9 out of 10. And the great value butter flavored popcorn, I'm going to give probably like a 6. I don't know. I'm stuck on between 6.5 and 7. It's serviceable. Don't get me wrong. I you know what? I still think the 6.5 is passable. So I'll go with the 6.5. Whereas the movie theater popcorn. Now, it would be a perfect 10 out of 10 if it was still hot. And I was able to somehow capture in all the heat from when it was first served. But alas.
I think also
laws of thermodynamics.
You like your sodium a little bit more than I do.
Oh, yeah.
And movie theater popcorn does tend to be, even without you adding salt to it, does tend to be saltier than regular bag popcorn.
That too, which honestly, beautiful. So, overall, the lesson here is that be glad that you don't have access to true, bona fide movie theater popcorn every time, because it's dangerous stuff, man. I really see a world where I just decide to fast tomorrow and go downstairs before we watch Moneyball, and there's still a half a bag of that movie theater popcorn left.
Oh, you can demolish it, man.
Oh, yeah. That's probably what's going to happen here. Like, you know, I'm also not going to rule it out of the possibility that in the middle of break, I just slam this whole cup of popcorn like it's a fucking drink.
I mean, why don't you finish it beforehand and then just refill it?
I could do that, but then it wouldn't be as funny.
Or better yet.
See, you prefer the microwave?
No, I just know that you like it. You like it. Like I said, I feel like they are, to me, they're similar.
Are they the same enough to where you don't have a preference for either one of them? You would just kind of go with whatever popcorn that you had available to you.
Yeah. The only other thing that I would supplement this with is with being at home with the bag popcorn, have access to garlic powder and occasionally some cayenne pepper.
You know what I love doing? I love slamming fucking Parmesan cheese on popcorn.
That's another good thing. If you can get like some cheddar cheese dust to sprinkle in there.
Too.
Or if you're feeling a little bit on the sweet side, take and put some cinnamon and some brown sugar on it.
That's good too. See,
or just
usually,
some cinnamon and regular sugar, whichever you may
that
have.
That would go well on kettle.
Kettle style. Well, yeah, kettle kettle's already cooked with a sweet oil. So
that would just ramp it up. Ooh.
I mean, you can make your own caramel popcorn at home. If you really wanted to. Just like caramelize some sugar and then just like toss the popcorn in it.
So let us know what you think about this experiment. Which side are you on? Are you on the bag popcorn versus movie theater popcorn has no difference? Or are you on my side and you're on the movie theater popcorn just has this special little extra something, and that something may or may not be the injection of an Orville Redenbacher child slave? I'm just saying that's a side to be on. And if you are on that side, then that's the right side to be on. So
an injection of or an injection by?
Both. Both. Geez. He's injecting the Orville Redenbacher slave child is injecting a little bit of his own flesh and blood in there too. And I think that's what gives
his
the popcorn
blood is
life.
Butter, so it makes sense.
Perfect, perfect. So let us know what side you're on. Let us know what you think about this. Be sure to follow, like, and subscribe. It is, of course, at Simulation Radio on everything. Leave a comment in the YouTube video or on the Instagram post as well. I'll go through all these and, you know, I will, of course, smack down all of the heathens that are on the wrong side. But don't let that stop you nonetheless. So make sure to go over there and leave a comment. And I look forward to hearing all of your wonderful, hopefully correct popcorn takes. So make sure to go ahead and do that because it's fun. And also, by the way, if you are a podcast listener or a YouTube VOD watcher, then you can also join us live every Thursday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern for the live show. We do stream the radio shows live every Thursday, and you can join us there on YouTube and Twitch. It is youtube.com/simulationradio and twitch.tv/simulationradio. So we're going to take a break real quick, and I've got a couple of things to get to when we come back as well, because I do want to talk about that Batman movie also. I mean, we've got spoiler alert
and also
in the title.
Music.
Spoiler alert in the title for a reason, so I want to get to, you know, what you guys thought about the Batman movie. So, again, I mean, if you're listening and you didn't see the title, then spoiler alert, we are talking about the Batman when we come back, and then I also...
You have a lozenge.
I'm so annoyed at something that we tried to watch earlier that I couldn't make it through. And, you know, it would be remiss of me.
I wasn't really into it either.
How long did it take you before you stopped?
I mean, I stopped watching it. I just put it on because we were both down there. And then when you left, I was like, all right, I'll put something else on. I think that's when I switched back over to a game.
And then I came upstairs with the intention to do some show prep and instead played two games of League of Legends and got fucking ass blasted in both of them. So we're in a great mood now. We're in a fantastic mood now. So,
did you uninstall the game again?
No. The thing is, I need League of Legends installed to play TFT because it's a sub game within League. So I unfortunately cannot uninstall the main game.
But did it make you want to uninstall it?
Of course. Of course it did.
A true League of Legends fan right there.
That's, you know, you can't not want to uninstall it at least every other game that you play. So I want to talk about that too, maybe, because I want to look and see. I'm curious as to what it got on Rotten Tomatoes and the audience reception of it. I really want to see if other people think that this is as bad as I do, and I'll let you know what it is. I'll tell you about it. It's a special on Netflix. We'll cover that. Plus, if we have the time, I want to take a look at this. Have you heard of the Star Wars Resort at Disney yet? Apparently, it is out.
Vaguely, there's some of my employees at work. Moonlight at Universal.
Really?
No, but they do have some of them. Like the part timers have a part time job at my job and have a part time job at Disney.
Huh.
So they have talked about. I've heard bits and pieces about it as it's leading up to it being open. I
thought it was
really
open
heard...
now. Or is it
no,
still...
as it was being built or repurposed from what it was prior.
So I've seen reviews of it already, and I want to go through a couple of those if we end up getting the time for it. And you know, in case you're thinking about flying down here to old Central Florida, Mickey
they're still
Mouse
gonna
Land,
make their money.
Oh, of course they are, even though it's expensive as fuck. But we'll get into that also potentially, and we'll continue to have some fun, and we will do all of that when we come back.
Simulation Radio. Simulation Radio.
Starting to get a little worried there. I was thinking that we were going to go the whole segment without having the door closed and with having the door open. So, and I'm not saying that I wouldn't have been down with that, but you know, I'll show you guys what I'm talking about here before we start jumping into things. So, I will, of course, put on display the character known as the Penis Touching Ghost. Now, that door behind you on the fourth camera that's on the top right part of the screen that, you know, we'll use at some point in the near future. But you can also see Justin's game score, game show victory score on that screen, too.
It will
but
that's, stay there forever.
That's actually a door that, like, swings open and closed. Not even the overhead shot can see it because it's right above where...
I think you mean slides open and closed?
It slides open and closed. What did I say?
Swing?
Swings? No, it's not big enough to swing. It only slides.
No, it swings from, the hinges at the top. So it opens like an old-style garage door.
At least it doesn't flop. Swing I'm okay with, but flop, once it starts flopping, then we've gone too far. So
it's out there flapping in the breeze.
It is. Look, it needs some air. You got to give the door air every now and then.
Well, honestly, that's part of what I was trying to do. I intended to close it sooner, but I was trying to leave it open so a little bit more cool air could get in here.
So,
and then I forgot.
There was something that I was wondering about, which is that, so apparently Dr. Dre is in GTA 5, right? Now,
yes.
we've heard some announcements about GTA 6 coming soon, but that's not very far off, so we're still dealing with GTA 5 here. Now,
his actual first appearance in the game, with GTA Online more specifically.
Is he only in the online version, or is he in like the single player campaign?
No, just in the online, at least for the PS4. Version of the game.
But Zoomers, you only know Dr. Dre from the Super Bowl halftime performance. Otherwise,
and as the producer from Interscope Records, I believe is what he owns
in the game.
No, in real life.
Oh yeah, that's right. So you only know him from the Super Bowl halftime show and from GTA 5. Those are the only things you have been exposed to that have Dr. Dre in them. If you're a Zoomer,
but this DLC that he's a part of, that's not the first DLC that he shows up in. I think it was two, maybe three DLCs. I think it was two DLCs prior to this one. He makes like a guest appearance. He's wind up going to the same island that you wind up doing a heist on. It's owned by this like cartel leader. He's hosting like this music festival or something, like almost in the vein of like Greenpeace or something.
Now, I don't know a lot about stuff. I don't really know a lot about Dr. Dre. Does he have a history of, you know, being like, I don't want to say like a gang leader or anything like that? Does he have a history of doing that?
Well, I don't think he was directly involved with any gangs growing up, but he definitely is
in the game.
He is from Compton, back when Compton was like really, really bad in LA, like prior to the riots. In LA and stuff like that, and that's part of the reason why his music that in his and his group of friends that he did music with. So Ice Cube, Eazy-E, and I can't remember the other guy's name. Another DJ or MC.
They're not.
I think it was MC
Yella.
I think it was MC Yella is the fifth. Well, Eazy-E died in the mid to late 80s from AIDS or HIV, something like that. I think it was AIDS. But Ice Cube obviously went on to his movie stardom, but he also broke off from that group because of a disagreement and a dispute over money, not getting paid like he felt like he should have, and went and did his own thing, produced his own music. Well, not his own music, but went and created his own brand basically for himself, away from that group.
Now, I don't know if you would know too much about this, but I'm curious as to what Dr. Dre thinks about his portrayal in the game, because I don't know whether or not he's of the mindset. I know that's him, but I don't know whether or not he's of the mindset that, like, you know, maybe if this was something that I was part of, this kind of life, that I'm past it, or he just doesn't give a fuck.
No, he thought it was dope. I guarantee you the only reason why he did it is because he thought it was legit. Like, he was 100% about it. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been involved with it.
He's definitely
that type of person.
He made an entirely new album that was in the game, too, apparently. Was it made specifically for the game?
I believe it's on Spotify.
Does it have a name like the GTA album or something kind of related to it like that?
Something similar. Let me pull it back up here.
I'm still eating popcorn, by the way. Pay no attention.
So it's basically named after the DLC. It's Grand Theft Auto Online: The Contract, and it has his name, Dr. Dre, at the top of the label, or at the top of the album. I mean,
between that and the Super Bowl performance, he's really getting himself out there again. Because you know there is, as I mentioned, look, I made a joke about the whole Zoomer thing, but that's a whole new audience that you could potentially be exposing yourself to. So that's probably at least IMO. A very solid business decision by Dr. Dre to, you know, start exposing himself to Zoomer shit.
I mean, I wish Rob was here. He knows way more about the music industry than I do, but and more specifically, I think about Dre in the music industry. But
I'm sure he knows everything.
As far as that goes, like that's like Dre did start out. He honestly. Even with the group that he started with, he was the producer. He was the sound producer. So that's what he did, and that's where he went in. He is legitimately a doctor. He has a doctorate in music theory. So when he has that title, that is a legit title. So
that's still funny to me. I don't know why, but
yeah, a gangster ass motherfucker with the title of doctor. Yeah,
I mean it works for him. Look, I think he's being smart about the way that he has been handling everything that he's been doing lately.
If you haven't seen it, I definitely highly recommend, and this is one that we can watch in the next couple of days, watch the movie Straight Outta Compton. It talks about all five of those dudes that I just mentioned and like how they started, and it goes through, and it has... Ice Cube is a producer on it. I'm pretty sure Dre is as well. And a couple other guys, obviously Eazy-E was not part of it because he died. But
too easy.
The portrayal from the aspect of, because I also watched a documentary about that film, and it talks about it, there's interviews with those guys and how they felt about the individuals that portrayed them and portrayed, you know, other characters that were prominent and prevalent in that. In their circle, and they said everybody did a phenomenal job. Like when they were going through and they were watching these kids doing these takes,
I heard that it was really good.
They were like that. Yeah, that's him. That's Easy. That's Dre. That's Ice Cube. Like they did a really good job, and being able to have that feedback from those guys for that, I think helped with the quality of the film.
Do you know what else I want to watch recently now that you kind of brought it up and this reminded me of it? So there's this documentary on Netflix that's about Kanye, and I really, really want to watch it. I've heard nothing but good things about it. I've heard that it's incredibly fascinating also because apparently there was this guy that Kanye knew. Now, I don't know too much about it. It also has a lot of footage of his mother in it too, or Donda. His mother, and supposedly there was this guy that was following Kanye around and like taking videos of him and recording him way,
everything.
Way back before he ever became famous or even close to famous. And the reason that I want to see it is because, I don't know, man, I just kind of want to get an insight into like what his mindset was like in the before times, because clearly we know the Kanye character now, like his character is kind of a...
Honestly, I don't think it's going to be much different.
That's the thing.
Just
going to
be a development
so
of, like, sure, you're going to see, basically, we'll probably see a more raw version of who he is today. But I feel like he is one of those. He is true to his character.
I'm just fascinated with Kanye as such an interesting character. And
he's definitely a very, very charismatic and unique individual.
This documentary hits all of the stuff that like I find incredibly, incredibly fascinating. Like their mindset at different stages in where they're at and seeing, you know, how they kind of evolve as a person between the various milestones that they make moving up in the world. And fuck, I don't know, man. That I've heard nothing but good things about it. I've heard nothing except that it's incredibly, incredibly fascinating. And it does a good job at, you know, kind of intensifying the feelings that you already feel about Kanye, because that's just kind of the way it goes, right? He's such a polarizing figure that you either love him or you hate him.
No, and he's definitely one of those.
This movie is not going to change your mind at all, but I'm telling you that if you're a Kanye hater, at least give it a chance, because it's...
It may open your eyes or open your mind up to and change your mind as to maybe seeing where he came from to where he's at now, and understand maybe giving just an smallest iota of an understanding of who he is as an individual may change your mind about it.
So this is all stuff that we've got on our list to watch in this next week that I'm sure we will report bad on. Speaking of which,
kind of to backtrack back to the Dre GTA stuff. For those that don't know or don't play, if you don't care, sure, whatever, you don't care, but we're still going to talk about it anyway.
Now you care.
Basically, what happened with this new DLC, what it is a...
If you don't know, now you know.
It's one of the playable characters from the story mode. Franklin Clinton has started up this security firm and invites you into the fold as a partner. So obviously... You have to buy into the business. You buy a location to set up shop, and you can, you know, go through the typical GTA online stuff. You go through, you can buy upgrades for the spot, make the interior look more, quote unquote, unique than just the basics. It also comes with the standard 10-car garage, and you.
Standard 10-car garage.
Every nice apartment / house that you can buy comes with a 10-car garage. There's a few exceptions to that where you have more space. But it's a business. It's a business with an underground garage, basically.
I'm willing to bet that they're not filling the gas tanks in those 10-car garages, at least nowadays.
Oh, it's all digital, man. You know, there's no. I mean, there's gas stations, but your cars just park at the pump. They don't really fill up.
Look, Metaverse gas surely has got to be just as expensive as
if not
real
more.
Gas.
What do you mean? Yeah,
of course. I mean, if you're
the
paying
exchange
with it,
rate for that has got to be outrageous.
Yeah, if you're paying for it in fucking Ethereum, then also its value could change it at any given moment.
Just like regular gas can change at any given moment.
Yeah,
saw a jump like 25 cents in a day.
It's been ridiculous lately. Now,
California, it's $6 a gallon for regular unleaded.
Yeah, I saw a screenshot today of somebody in California taking a picture of the gas prices. It was like $6.79 or some shit like that, and that was earlier.
I actually went back to look to see the last time gas prices peaked. 2008 was the last time gas was over $4 a gallon.
But... they peaked then. When did they climax and just spray all of the gasoline out of the pump uncontrollably on everything? That's an important factor.
I want to say, actually, as late as 2018.
Wow.
The average price was there was a couple of months where the average price was under $2 a gallon.
Now, also, how big does the gas pump measure out to exactly, and how bigger are we talking here? And also, that seems like it was a very long session. I was.
What? All right, we are off the rails right now. No, I am lost. I have no idea what you're asking me.
I was hoping that you would pick up on that before. So you said when the gas prices peaked, and I was asking, so when did the gas prices climax, though? And I don't know. I think that's an important part. I really thought that, you know, having gas fucking spray out everywhere.
What is this, Zoolander? What are we talking about here? Do you not remember the scene in Zoolander where they spray each other with gas, and then Ben Stiller's character either lights a lighter or lights up a match and blows his friends all to bits?
I was making an extended metaphor to...
A penis, yes, I get
course,
that.
Of course, but...
Like via climax and spraying everywhere.
I really thought that was going to be a lot more obvious than it turned out to be. So
yeah, I mean, I kind of just breezed over it. I let you have your little moment, and I kind of breezed over it, but you were stuck on it, and I kept going... And then that's where I got lost, because I kept going, was trying to talk more about other stuff. And then you were just like, but what about this? And I'm like, what?
So one of the things, we still got a couple minutes here. So I do want to talk about, because we have it in our show title today, so yes. I have to pay it off at least a little bit. Now, you have been warned, by the way, that this is a spoiler-ridden show for the Batman that we both saw this past weekend. It's been out for about a week now, so I think it's a fairly appropriate time to
Fair enough. The statute of limitations is fucking the day it comes out, whatever.
I mean,
if you went and saw like a premiere prior to the main release, that would be different, but I think the day it drops, if you go and see, I think that's fair game.
What about the fucking YouTubers that go and see like the midnight release and then go home and like make a fucking YouTube video with the hard review of everything that's
I literally just addressed that.
Yeah. So, I mean,
if it's the day of for the main audience of the world,
so it counts.
Or the main audience, the midnight release. Right. But that's the only show time until the theater reopens. Right.
Have you ever been to a midnight release of anything? What movie?
I don't fucking remember this. Really? Was like fucking 7 years ago, 8 years ago.
How many have you been to? One?
I think I went and saw a midnight release of The Losers. I don't know if you remember that film.
Who did that have in?
It had a few good people. It had, what's his name?
Was that a Ben Stiller movie?
No.
Okay, that's a different one.
Had Captain, who plays Captain America,
Chris Evans.
Chris Evans. It had, who's the chick that plays the girl in the Avatar?
I don't fucking know her name.
But you know who I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
I know who you're talking about. Though.
And it also has the British black guy that is in the newest Suicide Squad movie.
Idris Elba?
I think so.
Isn't he the guy that played the new boss in The Office too? Because I know he had a role in The Office too.
Oh, I haven't watched The Office. Oh, really? Sequence. Like, I've watched like episodes here and there, but like I haven't sat down and watched it like from episode one to season finale of the last season.
That's got to be a priority.
Nah, not really. It's a lot. That's a lot to watch.
I
feel like it's not something that, like, sure, yeah, there's the subplots within it. With,
you could
like,
still
between
catch
the characters,
it episodically.
But, just watching an episode of it, it's like Parks and Rec. You don't necessarily need to follow the storyline to enjoy it.
And but another key thing to take away from it is that if there's any episode that's in from, like, the last three seasons that doesn't have Michael in it, skip it. Get it the fuck out of there. So at least it shaves three seasons off it.
And then, so another movie that I watched, well, it wasn't a midnight release, but it was a premiere. It's probably, I think this is the only premiere that I've been to, was for, I think we talked about this actually last week, it was one of the Harry Potter movies.
Me too. That's the only one that I've ever been to.
Deathly Hallows? No. The Order of the Phoenix.
I think it was that one, actually.
And I watched that. I went and watched that at a military base at Fort Campbell when I was a kid. I was a teenager, but still a kid.
Of course, they're not going to have a midnight showing over there because they want your ass up the next day.
Have you met military folks?
I mean, that doesn't mean they're not going to go, but I don't think the military
premiere,
is
the
going to do
premiere
it.
The premiere was at like 7 or 8 p.m. And it was one of those where, because we were talking about last week with the, what's it called? The people talking, like cheering and stuff.
Yeah.
And that was the Harry Potter movie that I went and watched where people were like cheering and like jeering at the screen and poking fun at.
Now, the crowds for the Batman was a lot more subdued. I think I talked about this on Simulation Radio Live on Tuesday, but the crowds for Batman was much more subdued than the crowd for like the Spider-Man movie, for instance.
Well, the Spider-Man movie that we went to the day after it opened.
Yeah.
So it was still a packed theater. It's been out. When we went and watched it, it had been out for about 5 days, I think. 5 or 6
days.
So
it came out on
a week?
I think it came out on last Thursday, and we went and saw it on Sunday, so 4 days. I think at that point.
Was it?
But,
okay. But even
like
still,
that.
it wasn't a full, it was also like, when did we go? Like 4 o'clock?
Yeah, it was middle of the afternoon.
Middle of the afternoon on a Sunday.
It wasn't bad.
So like it wasn't, it was fairly full theater, but it wasn't packed. So, and it was also, not an, it wasn't a Marvel movie. Like the difference, if you know the difference between a DC movie and a Marvel movie, like I like the way that they did this one. Like DC is also much darker than Marvel, in every way.
Oh yeah, this one was dark. I read a lot about how the influence, I think it was Matt Reeve that was the director of this movie, how he took a lot of the influence from, you know, like the stuff that the Riddler did and all the crime scenes from horror movies like Seven and the Zodiac, like various Zodiac killer crime scenes and stuff like that.
Also
it was fascinating.
Made some correlations to some of the Arkham games because those games are also very dark and very gory. And some of the violence that you see is similar to some of the side story stuff that you work on in the Arkham games. So like the beheading of the character of some of the cast.
One of the reasons that I love the Arkham games is because it still had, at least for the first few games, it still had the voiceover cast from the animated series. Like it still had Kevin Conroy as Batman and Mark Hamill as the Joker.
Right.
And to see it in a much darker setting like that, it was with the same voice actors.
That's another thing. Like
it was
the
cool
comics,
shit.
The comics themselves. Like don't get me wrong, Marvel comics and their graphic novels that they have for their superheroes can be pretty violent, but overall DC comics are much, much more gory, much more violent, and more graphic in their depictions of violent crimes. And they did a really good job translating it onto the screen.
Yeah.
I think it was a great job. 2 hours and 55 minutes long this movie was, but I can't recall a single moment wherever I was... There wasn't too lengthy of a monologue or dialogue between characters. There was a good balance between the drama that was going on and the action. Like it was well balanced throughout. Like there wasn't just like an isolated of just like here's this massive amount of just action and then you just got like a 30-minute sequence of just like slow drama to where it just bores you to death. Now there were some other people that were younger that
were bored as shit.
The guys to the left of us were
they were like, oh God, still really? And you know, it's not a fucking Zoomer movie, fellas. Like if you've got a tiny attention span.
You gotta understand, like this movie is
it's a detective movie and I loved it for that.
It's like a detective drama.
Yeah.
And there's action sequence and there's a little bit of romance. Some sexual tension that goes on there for sure, but it fully encapsulates like what you expect from an epic like this. Like it was a fantastic movie. I think Robert Pattinson did a great job.
I agree.
I think the guy, I can't remember the guy's name. I know I've seen him in other stuff, but the guy that played the Riddler did a really good job as well.
Paul Dano, I think.
Wouldn't go so far as to compare him to Heath Ledger's Joker, but it was a pretty damn close performance. People said that, like some of the things that I read said that they compared it like a side-by-side equal comparison to Heath Ledger's Joker, but
you can't compare him like that.
I don't know. I don't think it was because like when I first watched Heath Ledger as the Joker, I did not even realize. Not until after the movie and seeing the credits, because that was another one of those movies. Like I saw a preview for it and I just didn't pay attention to like stuff afterwards or any of the hype about it. I was just like, yeah, this is going to be a great movie, and I never saw like. Even the scene where he doesn't have the where he's portraying the police officer and they're doing that 21 gun salute, I still even with that where he had no face paint on and it was just the scar lines from the on his cheeks, I still didn't see Heath Ledger there.
Yeah,
like I didn't see Heath Ledger would completely personified the Joker in that movie, and
it's what drove him mad as a person.
It did, like, and
you have
and
to get
he,
that into
he
it.
He fully enveloped himself into that character to where he was unrecognizable as Heath Ledger in that movie, and I haven't seen anybody be able to perform something like that since, except for maybe Robin Williams in Mrs. Doubtfire. but even still, he put on a whole fucking suit and had on a fucking mask, so of course he didn't look like himself.
So one of the things that I kind of wish they did, now, again, this doesn't really take away from the quality of the movie at all, because it doesn't detract from the storytelling, or it doesn't take away from any of the action or any of the detective scenes or any of that, but I kind of wish they went a little bit harder on the Riddler's costume. Like, I kind of didn't like the fact that, and I get what they were trying to do here. They were trying to make it a little bit more modernized
instead of it being quirky like the old school stuff.
I kind of wish they went a little bit. I didn't want them to go like Jim Carrey ham on it, but I kind of wanted like a little bit more quirkiness on the costume.
How it was portrayed in like maybe the more modern comics, or even in the Arkham games. With the Riddler.
Some kind of in between there. Now, I'm still not saying that it takes away from the movie in any way, but if you just take it at face value and you don't like hear the fact that they refer to the character as the Riddler at all through the movie, like if you just had to pass the eye test on looking at that character, you definitely would not be able to tell that that was ever the Riddler. Like, especially from just the first trailer that I watched and from the like little bits of the movie that opened, like the opening parts of the movie, and you just take the eye test at face value here, I wouldn't have been able to tell what fucking villain that was. It would have just been a guy. And I don't think that there was any defining characteristics of that being the Riddler. And only if you take like the costume and his appearance into account, you know.
So I know they changed his name, the Riddler's real name, in the movie.
Yeah, they changed it from Edward Nygma to what it's supposed to be, right, to like Edward something. I don't know. I don't remember exactly. It was some kind of R name.
Edward Nashton.
Nashton. Okay. So it was still an N sound at least. But, you know, that I'm okay with. And I'm kind of like, I'm really not okay with the Riddler costume thing being kind of plain either, but it's just it's kind of a small, like, you know, I wish there was a little bit more flair to it.
Did it have question marks on the jacket?
No, it didn't.
That was just the fanatics of him, or yeah, the people that were on his side that had the question marks.
Yeah.
Like if it had that on his coat, that would have been a little bit more flavor, I guess, for the character. But I couldn't tell you the reason. I'm sure there's going to be articles about why it wasn't that way, why his name was different. But
by the way, you remember that scene like right at the end where Batman was up on the top thing, like fighting all the Riddler copies? They did that without any CGI. That was in fact, most of the action scenes in that mm-hmm. movie were without CGI, because the director was like, we don't need this shit.
Which speaks to why, like, not necessarily budgets, like, sure, you save money by using a computer generated imagery, but why films that do well, when they minimize the amount of CGI that they do, or if they do use CGI, they put money towards it.
They really did a good job with it.
Right.
Like, you definitely could not
his car, as a car guy.
That was a great scene.
Was pretty interesting. Some of it I have some questions about, but just because it looked a little flimsy, and some of the hits that it took were a little questionable with the material that it.
You got to keep in mind, though, that they weren't specifically gearing that towards people like you. They were gearing it towards, you know, the fucking normie that's like, oh, the cool, the Batmobile looks kind of like a classic car, and that's what they were going for.
Even if you don't know that much about cars, just looking at like the body work on it, like how thin the body is, because you can see that in various scenes, especially when it shows it from the back, like the body panels on the side, they're not very thick.
I don't know.
And the fact that it's like basic, like glass, sure, you can get bulletproof glass, that's fine, I get that. But like, as thin as that was, even if it was something that was like made out of titanium, there would still be like just using your brain,
you just
kinetic energy, it's going to be some dents in it. Like that. That's my only nitpick about the car, but everything else was fantastic. I would love to have seen the Batwing, a flying version of the Batmobile, but maybe he hadn't progressed that far yet into the storyline.
It was only year two. I mean, it, to be fair, with all the car stuff, I don't think it's going to break most people's immersion with it.
A little bit nitpicky about it. But they're just, like I said, just those couple little things. Like, obviously, like looking at it, I could tell that it had a full tube chassis. But like him, some of the stuff that he like runs through with it, like, and then there's just seemingly no body damage whatsoever, not even a scratch. Come on.
It's part of the experience.
Still going to take some damage.
So honestly, going back to the whole 3-hour movie point, it needed all three of those hours.
Oh, absolutely.
See, I don't think that I would have cut any more than like another 5 or 10 minutes from the movie, maybe.
Maybe 20, but at that point, I feel like you're going to start losing flavor.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be able to keep the audience entrenched, or at least those that are able to have the attention span that can stay engrossed in something like that.
They spent a lot of time, too, going into, like, emotional depth with the characters, too. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, a movie that was just all about the random cash grab of just doing a blockbuster movie probably would not have included that scene where Bruce went to go see Alfred at the hospital. That was, like, a 10-minute long scene, and they probably would have cut that shit out if it wasn't, or if they weren't trying to, like, tell the full story, and if they were trying to just do, like, a, you know, I don't want to compare this to Marvel, but like just like
a
Marvel-esque kind of,
but keeping
cash grab.
Scenes like that in there.
But they needed that
for
scene.
For the relatability of it.
Yeah,
because a lot of people out there have had someone in the hospital, or you know have someone that has had someone in the hospital. So like having that connection of closeness and being able to relate to that is very important for a story like this.
I'm in the camp that all of those scenes, because there are plenty of scenes like that were necessary, and I feel like if you start cutting out all of those emotionally high-depth scenes, then that's where you start getting into the stuff that people give Marvel shit about it being like, you know, just kind of generic cape shit, basically. But
And it also is something that keeps it grounded as well, because you like in the midst of it all, you kind of tend to forget that he doesn't have a superpower.
Yeah,
he's not Superman. He's not Wonder Woman. He's not
Batman.
Aquaman. He is Batman. He is a playboy. He is a playboy billionaire genius that has some mental issues and puts on a bat suit and goes and beats people up.
So let us know what you guys thought about the movie if you have seen it yet, chat. Once again, be sure to leave a comment in the YouTube video, on social media, do all of that good stuff. Let's chat about the Batman movie. I am curious as to
I would love to see a sequel to this. Maybe not quite as long, but a sequel. And depending on how the new other DC movies that come out this year, maybe a revamp of that god-awful Justice League movie.
I know. The problem with, I don't even want to get into the whole Justice League thing. The problem with Justice League is that DC hasn't fucking earned it yet. Like, they haven't built up a reasonable or a universe that, like, makes sense yet, a coherent fucking plan for what they're going to do, and they just decided to, you know, we're just going to throw a Justice League movie out there when they haven't done the work. Like, let's be honest here, they haven't done the work. Marvel spent 10 years building up to that shit, and they kind of earned it, but...
Well, to be fair, they had the Green Arrow show, which has a huge audience on the TV and TV broadcasting. Same thing with The Flash. So those two are solidly, those stories are on lock. And then the couple of Wonder Woman movies that have come out, I think they had two of them before the Justice League movie.
Yeah.
So her story basically is there. Superman's story was there. We haven't heard anything about The Martian.
Yeah, and Martian Manhunter is one of the best heroes in Justice League too. At least he's one of my personal favorites, and we just haven't heard anything about him. And then of course they went with fucking Ben Affleck Batman when they kind of knew that he was flaky.
He was not a good choice for the Justice League.
He wasn't. No. And they weren't.
Or his style of Batman. Now that movie, we're not even going to talk about that movie.
It was bad. So, chat.
Martha.
Get your opinions in, fellas. Be sure to leave a comment on the YouTube videos and social media as well. And let me know what you thought about the movie if you've seen it yet. It's been out for about a week. I would think that most people that have wanted to go see it probably have gone to see it already. And if not, then, you know, maybe we were able to convince you here to go see it because it was great. It was pretty fantastic.
I do believe either a little bit later this month or maybe it's mid-month next month. It will be available, from what I've read, on HBO Max.
Okay, cool. So if you want to wait until then, too. I thought the movie theater experience was worth it, too, even without having the movie
theater popcorn. We almost went and watched it in 4DX, but I'm kind of glad we didn't.
Oh, you liked the Riddler, King Sky? See, I agree. I think that the Riddler was portrayed, it was really good. Now, I talked about some of the reservations with it a little bit earlier, and if you are justice, please do not lie. yeah, so I talked about some of the issues that I had with his costume a little bit earlier, but, you know,
the portrayal of him was phenomenal.
It was. It was darker than what you would normally think of as the Riddler to be. Like, you kind of think of the Riddler in, like, the Jim Carrey campy kind of sense, but, you know, the different direction that they ended up taking it in, especially the way that they incorporated some of the elements of, like, you know, QAnon and going deep into the online conspiracy theory shit, how that kind of dynamic was used in the movie, too. So it did it fairly well. So I enjoyed it.
Another one, and maybe not a movie, but to see as a villain would be, shoot, what's his name? The undead guy. Real big brute that's almost like the Hulk.
Bane?
No, not Bane.
Now, the question is did that ending scene set up basically this iteration of the movie's version of Joker to being the next villain?
Oh, because I'm not going to lie. I hope so, because that story arc with this, if
I don't know about Pattinson, that cameo, man. I don't like his laugh. I don't think it's menacing enough. I thought it was just kind of goofy, and I almost, like, laughed at it. Yeah, that's what some people are saying, too, King Sky, the Court of Owls. That's what Robert Pattinson wants, at least. Yes, I agree. Yeah, it's basically going to be Joker, but Joker's overdone. I agree. Like, between the standalone movie and the fact that, as we mentioned earlier, like, Heath Ledger basically did it to the extent that it could probably be done the best way. But alas, I do think that end scene kind of sets it up for the next movie to at least incorporate him into it. But I don't know if I dislike the actor.
Here's what they need to do for that. Here's what they need to do for that. Do the same thing that they did for Darth Vader in the original Star Wars. Have someone act and have Mark Hamill voice it over.
Please, please do that. Please.
Because that would be the ultimate, because the way that, because all you see is basically like here to here, and those eyes and those eyebrows, they look pretty Joker-esque, like to the degree of what we grew up with the animated series or even in the Arkham games.
See, I doubt they're going to do that, but that would be the coolest thing.
That would be the best bet, because that is the Joker. Mark Hamill's voice is the Joker.
It's definitely the best iteration of it, that at least to me. I don't know. So, any parting comments that you got about the movie? I really do think that it was worth all 3 hours of it. I thought it was fantastic. Robert Pattinson was really good as Batman. I know he got a lot of shit about it from being a fucking Twilight e-boy, but he did a pretty good job. I enjoyed it. Thought he was good. He did a great job with it. Hope they do Court of Owls or No Man's Land. Now, I've heard of Court of Owls, but I read a couple of articles about No Man's Land, basically. Wasn't that one of the, like, origin stories from the comics? I don't know. It was a couple days since I read it. No Man's Land. And I know that's one of the storylines in the comic, but I don't remember exactly what it was about.
I can't remember either.
But, yeah, that's just about just about all I got to. King Sky, you know so much more about Batman than either of us do. You sound like a pretty big fan, so I'm glad you were able to chime in. You hope it's Professor Pig and he modifies Hush Face to look like Robert Pattinson and Jay Dano provides the voiceover? Sure. It was the big earthquake one. Then they split into Jokerland, Two-Face Land. Oh, yeah. Okay. I remember that one. I don't remember it, but I remember the article talking about that. Wasn't there the origin story that, okay, tell me if I'm wrong and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm fairly sure that I'm going to be. Now, officially in the comics, I think Batman and Catwoman are together, and the way that that story came to be was, like, I guess Batman is explaining, like, one of his origin stories in a way that, oh, shit, no, that must have been a different one. It was, like, Joker versus the Riddler, kind of, and all of the different villains, like, teamed up with one of them, and I forget exactly how it ended up, but that's a completely different one than the one that King's guy is talking about. So I think that's about all we got for the movie. Again, it was totally worth it. It was fantastic. It was probably definitely better than any of the Ben Affleck ones, because all the Ben Affleck ones were terrible between Justice League and that one is a different one. That's what I thought. That one's a newer series. But, yeah, I kind of figured that you would know. No Man's Land, it's pretty old, from 1992. Okay, I see. I was kind of getting the different timelines and the ones that I was reading about mixed up. So, again, thank you all for watching and listening. I'll do the spiel once again to kind of wrap up the show here. If you would like to leave a comment about anything that we talked about, be sure to follow, like, and subscribe on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook. It is indeed at Simulation Radio on everything. Leave your comments about the movie, anything else that we talked about. Don't forget to hit that notification button, YouTube. Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Just click the link. It's right there.
Yeah, it's up somewhere. To me, it's up here. I'm pointing at the corner of the room. So, okay. Yeah, also be sure to follow us on all these social medias as well. It is at Simulation Radio on Facebook and Instagram. And that will just about do it from us tonight. We are probably going to go watch another movie.
Yeah.
And eat some more movie theater popcorn, which I'm telling you, Orville Redenbacher conspiracy or not. You got to agree with me on this one. If you're not on board the Orville Redenbacher child slave labor conspiracy, then wake up, people. Wake up. And that is it from us tonight. Love you all. You have the biggest dicks and the largest tits. See you next week.
Bye.
You lose! Good day, sir!